kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Father, we come into your presence now. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and we know that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And Father, you are strengthening us in these hours that we live now. And Lord, we ask that this word which we hear and we study may become life to us. It may become a part of us, that we will experience the blessing, the peace, the joy of your word. For this we ask now in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Well, I would like to share over the next few weeks as the Lord leads from the book of Revelation. And I have a title for our teachings for this, and I'm simply calling it Come Up Here. Come Up Here. Now, I'm reminded of when we turn to this book that is for the church age. Let's remind ourselves in Revelation chapter 1, and verses 1 to 3, so that we can just familiarize ourselves what this book is about. And it says here in verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. So it's a revelation. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. It's what God gave to him. And in return, we see that Jesus reveals this revelation to John, who is on the Isle of Patmos. And it says that it's things that are shortly to take place. So the book speaks of future. Not just present, but what is to come. And it goes on in verse 2, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. So it is a witness. The word of God is a witness. It is a testimony from Jesus Christ to him to be shared to the church. And he says, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. So we're told then it is a blessing to read this, to study this, to hear these words. It is a prophecy, so it is very dependent upon the Holy Spirit opening up at the right time, which we need to do, and what we hear and what we're going to hear over the next few weeks in this teaching, this is what he asks, and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. So we are to keep this. It is to be food for us. It is to help us, sustain us. It's to keep us focused with all that's going on now, with so much confusion, the falling away. This is a time now in which we keep these things that are written, for the time is near. So it's going to be encouragement. It's going to prepare us. It's going to help us. Now, what I want to do, I've taught a lot over the years, from chapters 1 to 3, with regard to the seven churches and all the admonitions and the warnings and those that overcome. We've recited many, many times from these, so I'm not going to spend much time on this, but I want to look today at chapter 4 of Revelation 4, and this is where I get the title for this, Come Up Here. So we're going to read this now, these 11 verses, and he says, after these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, Come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeding lightnings, thunderings, voices, seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal, and in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion, the second living creature like a calf, the third living creature had a face like a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures gave glory and honour and thanks to him, who sits on the throne, who lives for ever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him, who sits on the throne, and worship him, who lives for ever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honour and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Well, this is a tremendous sight that is going on here. And we need firstly to understand that there are the messages given to these seven churches in chapters 1 to 3. But now we find in chapter 4 there is something quite different. Because he says here, and after these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, Come up here, and I will show you things which must take place. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, the one and one that sat on the throne. So here we see two things. We see a door that is open. There is the sound of what sounds like a trumpet speaking. And secondly, it says, Come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. This, without doubt, of course, is speaking of the rapture. It is now speaking of the overcomers that are now caught up through this open door into the heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Apostle John is a forerunner, because he's receiving a prophecy. We already read it to you back in chapter 1. And he said, this is what must come. So it's to come in the future. But here is a type of rapture. He's caught up in the Spirit. He's seeing what is to come. And of course, as we look at this, he has to start to explain in the language that he has these things that he saw. Now, without doubt, this is speaking of the elders, the overcomers. And we've already seen this as we've read in this chapter. And so we need firstly to understand what these elders are. Because we're told that, verse 4, around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their head. So these 24 elders are the redeemed of God. We know this because we see this in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9. There are going to be a lot of scriptures that will come up, so bear with me. You can listen to this again. We will put this out, so you may not be able to take in everything straight away, but we see in this, in Revelation 5 verse 9, it says that they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. And so it goes on. So we're beginning to see that these elders are the redeemed by God, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. They've come out of every tribe and tongue and nation. They are overcomers. They are first fruits unto the Lord. We see this back in chapter 1 and verse 6 of Revelation. Chapter 1 and verse 6, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. So there we are beginning to get more insight and understanding of what these 24 elders are. They're priests, in other words, royal priests, and they are set apart to God the Father. Now, 24, it refers to 24, but it isn't a literal number, the same as we see 144,000 on Mount Zion. Sometimes these signify something, but they're not necessarily a literal number. But they are overcomers. We see again in Revelation chapter 3, and verse 21, because these overcomers, they sit on thrones. Now, what was one of the blessings given to the lukewarm church, the Laodicean church, in verse 21? It says, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. So there we are. That is a promise given to the lukewarm church. That if you get free from this lukewarmness, he says, then I'll grant you to sit down on a throne as I have overcome and sat down on my Father's throne in heaven. So there we begin to see a bigger insight now as to who these elders are. These elders are also priesthood. I read this back to you in Revelation 1:6. I'll just read it again. And has made us kings and priests to his God. Now, this 24 I believe it actually signifies to something that's in the Old Testament with regard to the priesthood. Because it's interesting that the priesthood was divided into 24. They were specially chosen out of 24,000 selected to be priests, separated unto God, and they reduced it down from 24,000 to 24. You can read that in your quiet time in 1 Chronicles 24 verses 1 to 19. 1 Chronicles 24 verses 1 to 19. You can read that. So there we get this idea now of the number 24. Elders also represent, I believe, with what we're seeing back in Revelation 4, around the throne, these 24 thrones and 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes and crowns and gold on their head. I believe this also includes the elders who represent the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles. So there's a remnant out of that as well. Certainly the 12 apostles, they are overcomers, first fruits also unto the Lord. Now it's interesting that the term elder is used in the Bible some 200 times. And here it refers to these elders who sit on thrones and have crowns. Now, this is very interesting, isn't it? Because we have a saint in the Bible who was promised a crown, who believed for that crown. Yes, the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. I know you know this well, but here we get an insight to these crowns that the overcomers, the first fruits, are going to have. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. So the apostle sees that there are going to be 24 elders sitting around the throne of God with crowns on their head. He knows he's going to be one of them, but he says it's not only me, but also all those who what? Love his appearing. In other words, we're getting ready. We're allowing the Holy Spirit to prepare us because he's going to appear. And this is why I'm calling these teachings, come up here. Because the signs, everything is telling us, it's preparing us. You see, this is revelation, brothers and sisters. Flesh and blood cannot reveal this. This is a work of the Holy Spirit. God's working in our hearts, preparing us for this next great event that is to happen. We're told that they are clothed in white raiment. Well, go back with me to Revelation chapter 3 and again to the church at Sardis, to those who overcome. He says here in chapter 3 verses 4 and 5, you have a few names even in Sardis who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. So there we see again the 24 elders are also clothed in white raiment. And finally we see in Revelation 19, and verse 8, 19 and verse 8. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. So there we go. It goes right back. So around the throne with these 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. So there we see very clearly the first fruits unto God, the overcomers, those who are going on, those who are walking with the Lord, whose eyes are upon the Lamb, upon him, and nothing else. And this is what God is doing now with us. This is why we walk by faith and not by sight. This is why God has separated us, set us apart unto himself, because the rapture is soon to come. We are soon to be caught away. And we're never going to be caught away if our life and heart is still in this world and we're caught up in the world's ways. This is why we have to be set apart to God, but I shall bring all of this out further. Now, it's interesting then looking at that. I've already shown you in chapter 4, this is the church that's caught up, the overcomers. They're now before the throne of God. The church is now in heaven. So what has happened then to the enemy? Well, here it is in Revelation 12 and verse 7. Because the enemy can no longer remain in the heavenlies. The overcomers have overcome. The church now has been raptured, caught away. We see now the 24 elders seated with Christ. Therefore, Satan has to be cast out. He can no longer remain there in that place. He usurped through Adam. He took the deeds off Adam that God gave Adam, his birthright. He stole it. And therefore, he took that place in the heavenlies. Well, he has to be removed. And the overcomers, the church that endures to the end, are the ones who overthrow the enemy and his demonic hosts. And here we see this in Revelation 12. We know that the man-child has been caught away, the overcomers. The rest of the church, the remnant that is left, the foolish virgins that didn't make it, they're the ones that go through tribulation, and the Antichrist makes war against her that is left. What do we see now in verse 7 of chapter 12? And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. Why? Because the church now has been caught up. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceived the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying, in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of the brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. So there we are, brothers and sisters. This is why this is so encouraging, going back to chapter 4. The church now is in the place that she should have been in, back in that place of authority with Christ, now seated in heavenly places. And the enemy cannot stay there anymore. He's been cast to the earth. So the only thing he can do now, he can go and make war. He is angry because his time is short. Now, we see that the Philadelphian church, which is waiting for the bridegroom, and we see the opposite to the Philadelphian church, which is the Laodicean church. And we know that that church is complacent. She's complacent in her wealth and her comforts. She's proud and arrogant. And I believe that that is really what we have today in Christendom. We have the Philadelphian church, which has little strength. But God said that I will deliver you from the hour of tribulation that will come upon the whole world. That is the promise that we know that is given to the Philadelphian church. Unlike the Laodicean church, which is being challenged in which to have their eyes open. They're neither hot nor cold. And we know that God says he will vomit them out of his mouth. But he says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eyesalve, that you may see. We've all, in many ways, brothers and sisters, we've come out of this lukewarm environment, which they call the Christian church. You have been delivered from that in whatever way God has worked with us. And we all have a testimony. I most certainly have been delivered out of that system. How God opened my eyes to see. And that is what God has to do. Our eyes have to be open in which to see this. And some see it and some don't. That is why God has been dealing with pride and arrogance in us, because he won't have it. He's been humbling us all these years, because the humble, the meek, they are the ones that hear from God. And this is why I believe the faith and the deeper life teaching has been given to us as a deliverance, to deliver us from this Laodicean spirit. And we're still a work in progress, brothers and sisters. But we know that the deeper life teaching is to get us to walk by faith and not trust in the arm of the flesh anymore. We're not to come under the control of man. And boy, are we seeing the control now with the falling away, trying to draw us into its bondage, but we are free from it. Because the word says, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. And that is what the deeper life teaching has been doing with us over these years, delivering us from this Laodicean spirit, which is dependent on the world, on wealth, success, and so forth. That's why there's such little light in the Laodicean church, because it's like the world. It lives like the world and acts like the world. God will not have that of the overcomers. And that's why he's delivering the world from us. Well, very well, we go back to chapter 4. So as we've seen then, that chapter 4 opens up with the overcomers. They're sitting on the throne, and this throne that we are seeing that they're sitting on is now not a throne of grace and mercy, but it is a throne of judgment. And he says in verse 2, immediately I saw in the spirit, behold, a throne sit in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And then it gives the appearance of this throne and a rainbow and so on around it. But this is not a throne of blessing. This is the throne of judgment in heaven. Judgment now is going to take place. The church has been raptured, has been taken out. So there we are, there is the promise. Before tribulation starts, the church will be taken away. Chapter 4 shows us, and now it's open in heaven, and we are seeing judgment. This is a judgment throne. You see, the evil powers, they've lost their dominion. I've already just read you that. Who have ruled over the earth. And God permit this for a season. And now they've been cast out. The enemy has been cast out to the earth. And he now will be given by God. He will be allowed, permitted for a season to go forth and to have dominion. He's going to be given in many ways unlimited power to try and overcome the church, Israel, the world through the great tribulation. So he's coming forth with wrath, and God is allowing him this power for a season, for the very purpose that Christians, this Laodicean spirit that is left, the foolish virgins, they have to be purged. We all have to go through purging to be purified. They run away from it. They are running away from the word of God. They are running away from holiness. But they will not be able to run away through the tribulation and the great tribulation. And the Antichrist is going to come and make war against the church that is left. Read that in Revelation 12. We know that very well. In fact, we'll look at it. Let's turn to Revelation 12 so that we see what's going on here. We'll take it up from verse 5 of Revelation 12. Here the Antichrist now is coming forward. He's cast to the earth, demonic powers. Now he's coming forth with great vengeance and wrath. And it says, she bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and a child was called up to his throne. So there we are. That is the church, the overcomers. They're caught up to God, to his throne. We've already read that to you back in chapter 4. Then the woman, which speaks of the church that's left, fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. So we get an indication that the overcomers, the 24 elders, are going to help minister to the woman that is left. She didn't make the rapture. Remember the parable of the 10 virgins, the 5 wise, 5 foolish. But it says that the woman left in the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. So the overcomers, who now have glorified bodies, are going to have access, just like Jesus did when he rose from the dead. He appeared to the disciples and disappeared in his new body. The same now with the overcomers. They've been caught away, raptured. They're in heaven. They have their new bodies, and they can have access. And they will have access to help the woman, the church that is left, through a period of 1,260 days. So there we are, brothers and sisters. Many saints will be left, and they're going to go through persecution and martyrdom. But the Lord will be merciful. There will be a remnant who will be able to escape. See, Antichrist doesn't have it all his way. He doesn't rule the complete entire world, but he certainly will rule the Roman Empire. That we do know. So during this time, the Antichrist now coming forward, we have two witnesses. And two witnesses are going to expose him and his true identity as to who he really is. And let's look at these two witnesses now. that come in Revelation chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. These two witnesses have a very important ministry during the tribulation and the great tribulation. So we take it up in chapter 11, and let's read from verse 1 onwards. Then I saw a reed like a measuring rod, and the angel stood, saying, "Rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there. But leave out the court which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles, and they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months." So there we are, it speaks of the Antichrist and the Gentile nations that will make war with Israel in the last days, and then Christ will come to redeem Israel. And it says, "And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth." We believe that those witnesses will be Moses and Elijah. It will certainly be Elijah, and we think that it will be Moses as well, because we know that Moses was never buried. There's always a question mark about Moses and what happened to him. But nevertheless, it goes on. And of course, we see by the anointing of these two saints, the powerful anointing that they have on them. Moses had the greatest anointing in the Old Testament. Elijah had a tremendous anointing set on him. So it very much signifies these two. And then it goes on, verse 4, "These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from the mouth and devours their enemies. And if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. These have power to shut heaven so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy," which is exactly what Moses and Elijah had. "And they have power over waters to turn them to blood and to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire. When they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom, Egypt, which also our Lord was crucified. Then those from the people, tribes, tongue and nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days and not allow their dead bodies to be put into graves." So they're going to be on display. The Antichrist looks as though he's won, he's destroyed them, and their bodies are on show for all the world to see. So this is something very important that's going on here. This has really caused the Antichrist real bother, concern. And it says, "And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them, make merry and send gifts to one another, because those two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. And after 3.5 days, the breath of life came from God, entered them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell on those who saw them. And they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, 'Come up here.' And they ascended to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw them." So there is another rapture, another catching away. So this is a tremendous thing that's going on here. So the saints to the left being martyred by the Antichrist, Israel is going to be warned by the two witnesses that don't follow this man. Don't listen to him. Don't worship him. He is not your Messiah, because they are discerning who he is. It just shows how deceived Israel and the nations are. And we're seeing it now, aren't we? We're seeing how deceived people are being. as they're making themselves slaves to technology, allowing governments to take away our liberty, our rights, and so on. They want to go under tyranny by government. That's what people want. It seems they want to be controlled. Why is this happening? Because they're becoming reprobate. Their minds are becoming sin. They no longer hold or regard God in their mind or heart or conscience anymore. You know that because you see it, you hear it. You try and share with them. You try and share what's going on and with this COVID and vaccine and everything. They don't want to know. These are all part of the signs. But these two witnesses, they're going to be so empowered that what they do will get Israel's attention. And their eyes will be open. Israel's eyes will be open. They will see that they have been deceived. And then the Antichrist comes with great wrath and vengeance to destroy. Because he's now been exposed finally through these two witnesses. So there we are, brothers and sisters. So going back, as we bring this to a conclusion this week, going back to Revelation 4. So it says here in verses 1 and 2, "And after these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, Come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven. One sat on the throne." So there we are. A door is open in heaven. And this is why I've always said to you, brothers and sisters, God has set this open door in the body of Christ. As he's restoring, as we're in this time of restoration, we're in a time of where we're coming together, and God has set this door in our midst into the kingdom of God. This is why I keep stressing our teaching, our message, our witness is about the kingdom of God. And these events here reveal that the church age now has come to a close. It's finished with Philadelphia and Laodicea. Chapter 4 now opens into a new dispensation. The church age is now finished. Yes, the woman is left, Christians are left, but the church's function of bringing forth overcomers, first fruits, it's done its job. God has done this by the Holy Spirit, so that the church age now comes to an end, and we now see the church in heaven and a throne open up, speaking of what is to take place in judgment. You see, John mentions, doesn't he, here in these two verses, of a trumpet which speaks to him like a voice. You see, he's trying to put what he's seeing and what he's hearing in words that we can understand. So the only way he can get nearest to it, he said it sounded like a trumpet when the Lord said, "Come up." Now we get an indication of that in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 onwards. I know you know this well, but we need to just look at this. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 51. "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? So what is that referring to? It means that we have overcome death, the physical death in our body, which is the ultimate reward that God is going to give to us. This is why we teach the deeper life. This is why we hold on to wholeness in mind, body, and spirit. The Word of God is to work so much within us that it will deliver us even from death. And that's why I'm calling this teaching, Come Up Here. And the apostle gives it here in 1 Corinthians 15. We also know that it speaks in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. And that's what we're doing, brothers and sisters. I'm trusting that our teachings in this is going to be a comfort to us, to comfort one another, because we certainly do need it at the moment with what we're going through. So there we are. So the dead in Christ, that's the Old Testament, the patriarchs, the apostles, all of those, they're going to be caught up first, and then we with them in the air together, the overcomers, the first fruits, to meet the Lord in the clouds, in the air. Wonderful. So I think we're seeing very clearly, aren't we, back in chapter 4 of Revelation, that this speaks of the rapture of the church. It's now set in heaven. Verse 4 tells us that around the throne they have crowns, and we see them. We see those crowns that are given also in Revelation 11, verses 15 to 19. Here it speaks again of these crowns. And those, the witnesses that are resurrected, they're taken up also, which is a type of rapture. Then it says, now after 3.5 days, the breath of life came and entered, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell on all those that saw them. And they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, come up here. And they ascended to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw them. And in the same hour, there was great earthquake, and a tenth of the city fell. And the earthquake, 7,000 people were killed, and the rest were afraid and gave glory to God of heaven. And then the second woe comes out. So we see what happens after they're taken away, which again is a type of rapture when they go up. And then going back into Revelation 4, verse 3, we see then that there's around the throne, it gives the appearance of the throne like jasper and a sardius stone, and there is a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Well, what is this rainbow then? Well, I believe this rainbow reminds God not to destroy the whole world. And we know the story of the great flood. And God set a rainbow, and that was a promise that he would not destroy the world or all flesh anymore. But it's interesting that it appears around the judgment seat. So why is it there? Well, I believe it's there because it's to encourage that God, even through this great tribulation, these supernatural judgments and falling on the earth, it will look as though the earth is going to be totally destroyed. Yet this rainbow will be a reminder that God will not totally destroy the whole earth. And that's why it's there, to remind that he will still have mercy and forgiveness. You see, the nature of our Heavenly Father is always redemptive. And in verse 5 it says, "And from the throne proceeds lightnings, thunderings, voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God." So this indicates it's a throne of judgment. And it's interesting, do you remember when God judged the children of Israel? He judged Pharaoh when Moses kept going in before him, "Let my people go." Remember, one of the judgments was the thunder and hail and fire. That was the seventh judgment. Well, there's a type there. I'm also reminded when the children of Israel wanted to be like the nations around them, and they wanted a king. They didn't want God anymore. So Samuel, he let them have a king, but in his wrath, before they saw the king, Saul, they experienced hail and fire. And it says the children of Israel trembled. So again, these are all types. And so the throne is now set, but it is not a throne of grace anymore. It is a throne of judgment. And that's why, brothers and sisters, as I close now, we're still under the age and time of grace and mercy. But God says, "My spirit will not always strive with man." And there is soon coming a time when it will no longer be like this. The earth, the world, has to be judged. But before anything happens, the overcomers, the first fruits, will be caught away. And there we see them in chapter 4. We see this great event, what the Apostle John sees, what he is describing that is going to happen.
Disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
All life done.